The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Lift Up Jesus with Pastor Dudley Rutherford. I'm Kyle Welch. We are here every weekday at this time to share the good news of Jesus and to lift up his name to this city. No matter if you are listening right now from your car or at home or in your place of work, we believe that today's sermon from Pastor Dudley will be a blessing to everyone. So if you can, get out your Bibles and let's join Pastor Dudley right now with his message.
If you ever look to buy or sell a home, the first thing you need to do is get a real estate agent. And they have what's called an MLS, which is Multiple Listing Service. It will list the square footage of that house, how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms. It will talk about certain utilities or the view or certain things about this house. Likewise, when you come to Revelation chapter 21 and 22, which was written by the Apostle John, John is God's real estate agent. And when you read these two chapters, he gives us snippets of information about what your heavenly home is going to look like. He gives his first impressions, further impressions, and his final impressions. First impressions, write this down. As John looks into heaven and tries to explain it to us, he's overwhelmed by the splendor of what he sees. And he begins to write Revelation 21, verse 10. He says these words, "He carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high." God opens up the curtains of heaven and allows John to see what heaven looks like. And the Bible says, "He showed me to the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God." And then he says in verse 11, he's trying to explain it. He says it shone with what he calls the glory of God. And its brilliance was like that of a, how shall I put this? It was like a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. I want to ask you, can you imagine such a place where everywhere you turn, wherever you look, it reflects the glory of God? And it says that it shone its brilliance. Verse 11, he tries to describe it to the best of his ability, and he says, "I looked at the city, and it was like the most expensive jewel that you can possibly imagine." He was overwhelmed by the splendor. Number two, write this down. He was overwhelmed by the structure of the place. The Bible says in verse 12 that it had a great high, what? Wall. We know down in verse 17 that the wall around heaven is over 200 feet tall. We know that the reason for the wall around heaven is not there. It's not there for security or protection because no evil will ever come against that city.
Amen.
Amen. So why is there a wall? I think it's there as a reminder that not everyone has access to heaven. The only way you're ever going to get inside that city is through the gates. There are gates around that wall. Look at verse 12. It had a great high wall with how many gates? 12 gates with 12 angels. And on those gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now look at verse 13. There were three gates. Now look at this. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now, why are there three gates to the north, to the east, to the west, and to the south? We don't know for sure. I think those 12 gates represents that there'll be people coming from the four corners of the globe. Now, we know verse 18 talks about the walls are made out of jasper, and verse 19 that the foundation was made of precious stones. I don't want to go into all that, but I do want to talk about these gates. And why are the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel on those gates? Well, the first clue is this. We know that Jesus came from those 12 tribes of Israel, right? And so I think there's something about those gates that are going to remind you as you walk through them that you'd only be able to walk through there because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. The other thing that we learn about these gates, important clues in verse 21, it says that the 12 gates were made out of 12 pearls. Each gate was made of a single pearl. And I believe that those pearly gates, gates made of a single pearl, when you walk through them, you will be reminded that the only way you were able to get inside this city is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And you will realize that you have absolutely no right whatsoever to be in heaven except for what Jesus Christ did on that cross of Calvary when He shed His blood for the covering of our sins. And then we're going to discover when you get inside that the streets are paved with gold. That's what the Bible says in verse 21. Here's what it says. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. And the great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. That's one reason why I believe there'll be no unsaved people up there, because if unsaved people up there, they would steal it. I want you to ask yourself this question. Why is God paving the streets in heaven with gold? Why are the walls made out of jasper? Why are the gates made of single solid pearls? I think He wants you to have an imagination. Just imagine if the pavement up there is solid gold. Just imagine how great the city's going to be if the pavement is gold. Oh, that's exciting. Amen. He was impressed with the splendor of the city. He was impressed with the structure of the city. Write this down. He was impressed with the size of the city. The Bible says in verse 16 that the city was laid out like a square. It was as long as it was wide. He actually measured it with a rod, and He found it to be 12,000 stadia in length as it was in width, as high as it was long. What's that mean? That means that heaven is a perfect size cube. It is 1,500 miles wide. It is 1,500 miles long, and it's 1,500 miles high. That's a large city. And wherever you go, every square inch will be filled with the Spirit of God, and you will experience the presence of God wherever you go in that city. Oh, I want you to know, don't ever think that God is up there preparing some dinky little shack up there for us in heaven. I want you to get this in your heart, that heaven's going to be a huge, magnificent, celestial, splendor, brilliant place that's greater than anything you can possibly imagine. And then He gives number two further impressions. And He says, write this down, He looks, He doesn't see any sanctuaries. There's no temple. There's no church buildings. He says it in verse 22, I looked and I did not see a temple in the city. Now, you have to understand that to Jewish people back in that day, that's all they knew was the temple. When they were 40 years wandering around the wilderness, they had a portable sanctuary. They'd construct it when they settled. The whole community would be built around that sanctuary, that temple. And when they went to worship, everybody got up on the holy days and they went to the temple to worship God. When they finally established themselves in Israel, they built a temple that was destroyed. So they built a second temple. It too was destroyed. The only thing that remains of that second temple is part of the foundation, which is today the Western Wall. When you go over there, it still is in existence. But Jews all over the world, three times a year on unholy days, they would get all their stuff together and they would go to the temple. For what purpose? They would go there to worship. It's exactly what you did here today. I want you to know that when you're in heaven, you're not going to have to go someplace to worship God. That you're going to be able to worship God wherever you go, because you're going to be in His presence. Look at verse 22. It says, that the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Worship is not going to be something you do at Saturday night at 6 o'clock or Sunday morning at 9 or 11. When you get up to heaven, you're going to be worshiping God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all day, every day. And I want to say this to you, listen carefully. If you don't like coming to church for the purpose of worshiping God, you're probably not going to like heaven. Because when we get up there, we're going to be worshiping God. You might as well come here and get used to it. Amen. No sanctuary, write this down, no substitutes. Verse 23 says that the city, heaven, it does not need the sun nor the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light and Lamb its lamp. Did you know that the sun is the most brilliant thing that we know? Did you know that the sun is 90 million miles away from Earth? This week, I think it was on Monday, I looked up in the sky. I could see the sun and the moon at the same time. I don't really understand that, but I looked up and there's the sun and there's the moon. You ever seen the moon in the daytime? I'm looking and they both look like they're just right there. The moon is right there and the sun is right there. Well, the moon is much closer than the sun. The moon is about a quarter of 1 million miles away. It's about 259,000 miles. That's just a quarter of 1 million. The sun is 90 million miles from this earth. But it is so bright, and it is so brilliant, and it is so powerful, even though it's 90 million miles away, if you go outside in 15 minutes, it will burn your skin. That's how powerful it is. John tells us when we get to heaven, there's not going to be a need for the sun. That the sun's going to be puny and unimpressive compared to the glory of God. That all of heaven will be filled with His glory. Now, when you get up there, I got bad news and good news. The bad news is this. If you work for DWP, you're going to be unemployed. The good news is the rest of us will have no more DWP bills. No more electric bills. Number three, there'll be no sinners in heaven. Not going to be any sinners up there. There's one righteous Pharisee right back there. Now look at verse 27. It's in the Bible. Watch these words. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. There'll be nothing impure, nothing deceitful, no crime, no violence, no immorality, no filthy language, no lying, no cheating, no stealing. There'll be no need for lawyers. Lawyers, don't be offended by that. There'll be no need for sermons. Not just lawyer, you're not going to need a preacher. There's no need to listen to a sermon any longer. There's no pollution, no sewers, no cavities. There'll be no racism in heaven. Of any kind. There'll be no prejudices of any kind. There'll be no injustices of any kind. No war, no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no cancer, no death, no disease. There'll be no CNN. There'll be no Fox News. There'll be no political rhetoric or spin. No heartache, no backache, no back pain, no knee pain. No doctors, no hospitals, no ambulances, no cemeteries. Nothing impure. No cats. That's in my notes right here. No cats. There will be dogs. That's in the book of Leviticus. You'll have to go back and read it. There'll be no evil of any kind. No evil of any kind. The Bible says in verse 27, it's in your Bible, only those whose names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. Well, what is that? When you come to Jesus Christ and you surrender and you become a Christian, God in heaven takes, he has a book, and he literally writes your name in what's called the Lamb's book of life. And if your name is not written in that book, you're not getting through those pearly gates. Because only Jesus can wash your sins away. Only Jesus can forgive you of your sins. Only Jesus can make you pure again. Only Jesus can restore you. Only Jesus can redeem you. Only Jesus can save us. But when you come, he writes your name. Everybody do this. That's sign language for name. Look over sign language. What's the sign for name? That's name. I teach all my assistants, if I'm talking to you and I don't know your name, I do this, and she will say your name, because that's what that means. Amen? But your name is written down in his book when you come and put your faith in Jesus Christ. And the final impressions, just a couple quick things, write this down. There's going to be a special kind of fruit up there. Now, some of you don't realize this, but when we get to heaven, we're going to get to eat. How many of you like to eat? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. You say, and some of you don't realize it, but the Bible talks through the whole Bible, we're going to have a banquet up there. And guess who's going to be at the head of the table? Jesus is going to be at the head of the banquet table. Oh, we're going to do a lot of eating up there. And somehow there's this special kind of fruit. You go, that's not in the Bible. Oh, it's in the Bible. How do you know? Because I've read the Bible. Why haven't you read it? You would know this if you read it. Let's look at it. Chapter 22, the next chapter, verse 1. The angel showed me the river of water of life. There's going to be a river, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life. Now watch this. Bearing 12 crops of what? Fruit. Yielding its fruit every month. Now, I don't know what kind of fruit it is. I mean, it could be anything, right? How many of you like bananas? I think there's going to be bananas up there. Maybe in heaven they'll have zippers on them. You know, just zip them. There they are. I don't know. Maybe apples without cores. Peaches without pits, watermelon without seeds. Did you know that it's possible when you get to heaven that chocolate could be a fruit? I mean, there's a chance of it, right? I mean, God can do whatever he wants. What if you get up there and there's a chocolate fruit and it says there no calories and you just get to eat chocolate all day, every day? It's a fruit. I don't know. Number two, write this down. The saved will be there. Not going to be lost people, only going to be saved people there. Verse 3 says, no longer will there be any curse. You see, this earth is cursed. You see all the bad things in this world, you go, how does all this happen? This earth is cursed. Sin cursed this earth. But when you get up there, there'll no longer be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants, those of us that are saved. What are we going to do when we get up there? We're going to serve him. But the difference is when we get up to heaven, we're going to serve him without limitations. See, right now, my body has limitations because I can only stand so long. Some of you, we sang like 3 songs and you were like, when do we get to sit down? In heaven, you're going to serve him without limitations. You won't get tired of standing. You won't get tired of singing. You won't get tired of clapping. You won't get tired of worshiping. You won't get tired of raising your hands. I will never, when I get to heaven, I'll have a perfect body. I will never lose my voice. I might dance, I don't know, for 1,000,000 years. I might clap, I don't know, for 2,000,000 years. I might just say Jesus for like, I don't know, maybe 3,000,000 years. I'll just say his name over and over again. I know this, I will never get tired. I will worship him for all of eternity. But the best part of heaven, the best part, write this down. I'm going to get to see him face to face. That's what it says there. They will see his face. You know, I know you don't understand this because I don't look this old. But I've been preaching about Jesus for over 40 years. But I've never seen his face. I grew up in a white church. You all know what that means? I grew up in a white church, and we had a picture hanging of Jesus. This is what Jesus looks like in a white church right here. How many of you ever seen that photograph? You got blonde hair and blue eyes, right? If you grew up in a black church, Jesus looked like this. I mean, they don't have pictures of white Jesus in a black church. You all know that, right? You all know that, right? Maybe you've been in a white church way too long if you think they got white Jesus in a black church. They don't. And I don't want to alarm you, but over in China, 1/3 of the world is Chinese. All of you are if you're not Chinese, you are a minority on this planet. The whole world is Chinese. And they have a Chinese Jesus. They don't have no black Jesus, no white Jesus in a Chinese church. How many of you know this? Yeah, because we think we know what Jesus looks like. You heard the two, the black dude and the white dude, they were arguing. The white dude was saying Jesus is white, and the black guy was saying Jesus is black, and they were arguing what color Jesus was. And so they both died on the same day, and they got up to heaven. They go, oh, we're going to find out what color Jesus is. And Jesus comes around the corner and goes, Buenos dias, Señor. That's terrible. But when I see him, I'm going to see him face to face. I hold my little grandbaby. He's like 1 month old, 2 months old, 6 weeks old. I just stare at his face. I can't help myself. The other night I held him for 2 hours. 2 hours. I just stared at his face. My wife came over. I said, get back, get back, get back. It's my turn. The Bible says these words in 1 John 3:2, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. We don't know everything about the future, but we do know this, that when he appears, that we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and we will see him face to face.
It's a blessing for us to bring this program to you every day. We exist only by our faithful partners who support us through their prayers and financial gifts. If Pastor Dudley's message has been a blessing to you, we would like to encourage you to consider joining in partnership with us so we can continue to be here every day to bless others with this important ministry. Your gifts, whether large or small, are greatly appreciated and go directly to help keep us on the air. You can find out more about supporting us by calling our toll-free number, 888-818-4777. That number again is 888-818-4777. We have operators standing by and ready to take your call. You can also support us by going to our website, liftupjesus.com/reach. That address again is liftupjesus.com/ and then the word reach. Wouldn't it be great if there were accessible answers to our spiritual problems? Just like there's a smartphone app for calculating a tip or getting directions to a local store. Most of us have heard the phrase, there's an app for that, popularized by the creators of the iPhone.
Well, God has an app for the common problems faced by Christians everywhere. Are you stressed out? God has an app for that. Problem with crude language or gossip? Struggling with prejudice? Brokenhearted? Anxious? Or depressed? God has an app for that too. Pastor Dudley's book, God Has an App for That, is available now for a gift of any size to the Lift Up Jesus Ministry. This helpful resource can be yours right now by calling our toll-free number, 888-818-4777. That number again is 888-818-4777. You can also get God Has an App for That on our website, liftupjesus.com. That address again is liftupjesus.com. Come and explore the book of James and discover God's user-friendly solutions for some of the biggest challenges we all face daily. Get your copy of Pastor Dudley's book, God Has an App for That, today. I'm Kyle Welch, inviting you to join us tomorrow at this same time as we again lift up Jesus with Pastor Dudley.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.